Hi, it's Dave Denton along with Zane. We are in the family truckster. We're taking a road trip. Yes, we are on the road to WrestleMania. Hi, Zane.
Say that again.
We're on the road to WrestleMania. It's the road to WrestleMania because we're on I-15 right now.
Kind of like the yellow brick road?
I don't follow along with anybody. Especially not in Kansas anymore. Hey, yeah, waka, waka, waka. No, actually, we are on I-15 in northern Utah right now, right outside of Brigham City. And if you want to get a map out, find where that's at. And we are on the road recording this in my car. We are going to the WWE event. It's the Maverick Center. And tonight we are going to the road to WrestleMania.
WWE Live.
I cannot.
You know, talent is subject to change. You know, another thing that frustrates me is what happened to the element of surprise? You know, they're like, oh, next week on Raw, Samoa Joe's coming, or, you know, come on, whatever happened to just hearing their music and the crowd going nutso?
Yeah.
These days.
Yeah, and then
Nakamura, what an attractive fella.
Glad you said that. That man be eat up and ugly. His hairstyle, and then he puts in that mouthpiece. When we come back, we're going to talk about the road to WrestleMania because we're on the road.
So will it be the road home from the road to WrestleMania? Okay.
Okay. Works for me.
Okay.
I'm so confused, I think I have a headache. Thanks. We'll be back with more on Turnbuckle Trash.
A lot of my friends tell me I look like a pro wrestler, but not a good one. I look like those guys that used to lose on Saturday afternoon wrestling. You might remember those guys. They were the ones that didn't have a theme song or a nickname. They were just waiting there in the ring when they came back from a commercial break. That's how you knew they were going to lose every week. They were already there. They'd get the saddest introduction in wrestling. Just already in the ring. Weighing in at 275 pounds. From Robbinsdale, Minnesota. You just knew. The next person through those curtains was kicking the crap out of Scott.
You know, I kind of look like a jobber myself. I kind of look like, the Brooklyn Brawler. What a great jobber he was. You know, he just looked like a slob.
So he's like, from Pensacola, Florida, weighing in at 219 pounds.
Nothing.
That was freaking funny as crap, dude. That was.
Speaking of Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame.
How excited are you about this class?
I am stoked. Kurt Angle.
Rock and Roll Express.
Ricky and Robert. Ricky and Robert.
In.
Yeah.
Are you surprised about Kurt Angle getting in this soon? Is that too soon?
With what he did in the ring, from amateur to WWE to his days in TNA, he well deserves it.
Remember, folks, this isn't like the NBA or NFL Pro Football Hall of Fame, where if you have to be retired for at least 5 years to be elected into the first ballot Hall of Fame. For the wrestlers, there is no time. There is no time, I guess, separation, if you will, in regards to them being separated from WWE.
Didn't Edge get in the year after he was forced to retire because of injuries?
Oh, so. And he was, yeah, and it was for sure. There was no even question. Everybody knew the day he retired that he was getting the Hall of Fame next WrestleMania. Yeah.
Now, Kurt Angle, going back to him, I remember when he came in to the WWE, He was the Olympic hero. Remember, he wrestled in the Atlanta Olympics with a broken freaking neck.
Yeah.
And then they did some comedy work with him, of course, with Steve Austin. That was just
incredible.
Hilarious.
Incredible.
I remember Steve putting that little cowboy hat on Kurt Angle. Oh, man, that was hilarious.
Well, and I remember his match with Shane McMahon. No holds bar, anything going on. It was a street fight. And he went to Chuck Shane through this plastic, I don't know, Maj, if you will. And Shane doesn't go through, and he lands straight on top of his head, and you hear it.
Yeah.
So you can hear Shane say, "Throw me again." And so Kurt doesn't hesitate, picks him up, chucks him again, and this time he makes it through.
Yeah.
Kurt was willing to do whatever he was asked to do. And now you talk about him being face. When they threw him to be heel, Kurt ate it up.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole, his theme song, his walk-in song, and the crowd would chant, you know, "You suck," or whatever, at the beats. And Kurt ate it up. Kurt was so professional about it, to be quite honest with you.
You know, he wasn't a professional wrestling fan.
No.
He wasn't a fan, but you know, once you've done the Olympics, what are you going to do to make a living, right?
Yeah.
And I think it was ECW that first approached him about it, and he went to a match and didn't really like what he was seeing. And then, you know, some other things happened. He eventually just becomes a huge superstar in the industry. And that, I think what you said about him, he was willing to do whatever. Who would have thought this guy who was so intense in his training? I mean, what did he have any body fat on him at all?
I doubt it if he did. Never mind.
If you read his autobiography, you talk about his training schedule. It was like before the Olympics. He worked out constantly. He did all the time. And you know,
but as Olympians, they do that.
Yeah.
I mean, Michael Phelps is obsessed with working out.
Yeah, he trained constantly. But who would have thought this guy, who was so intense in the amateur wrestling world and so good, could come into the, quote, sports entertainment and be able to play the heel so well that when they made him a babyface, the crowd still ate it up? He is a unique talent. He's had some difficulties over the years with his injuries and drug abuse, and but
Kurt Angle's in the Hall of Fame. Oh, it is true.
It's true. It's true.
Teddy Long is also, as of this recording, Teddy Long is also in the Hall of Fame.
Deserves it.
Absolutely.
You talk about, but Teddy Long started as a wrestling official. He was in the ring as a referee.
Oh.
Then he became a manager, and then he became the general manager of SmackDown. His little swagger when he'd walk out as the general manager and having those great-looking suits he wore, and his mic skills, wow.
Just incredible.
Just holla if you hear me. You know, playa, you know, he's talking to playa and stuff. He played that part. But he looks so much like Gary Coleman, the actor.
Don't do that.
He looks so much.
Why do you do that? You have to be that guy, don't you, Dave?
I am that guy.
You know, Teddy Long, if you're listening to this, I just want to apologize on behalf of my partner here, Dave Denton, for calling you, or at least liking you to Gary
Coleman.
What you talking about, Willis? Coleman.
No, I love Gary Coleman.
Don't. No, you don't.
I do.
No, so. That's because you think I'm Gary Coleman. That's why you say that. So don't even.
Hi, Gar.
No.
Did you know Gary Coleman showed up at our radio station one day?
What?
In Logan, Utah.
Promoting himself to be the governor of California?
No. You know, he lived in Utah the last few years of his life.
Oh, I did hear that. Yeah.
Yeah, in Santaquin, Utah. And he was in an independent film called Church Ball.
Yep.
And
love that movie.
He was promoting that, and he came in.
Movie.
And he didn't do the interview on my radio station, but the radio station right next door to me, VFX, he was doing an interview on that. So I didn't get to meet him, but I did to see him. So, but anyway, Teddy Long, let's talk, get back to Teddy. He brought a swagger to SmackDown when they just desperately needed it.
the wonderful Teresa.
You're going to volunteer her cooking skills again?
Are you kidding me? Wouldn't you? You I always laugh, do. But I'm serious.
I'm not going to volunteer her. She's over there. She can beat me up.
I don't even volunteer my own wife to cook for me. I'll take Teresa over that.
She's laughing.
Okay, so we came over, like maybe 4 years. I can't wait, it's been almost 4 years. Yeah. But Teresa Denton, incredible, incredible woman. You outkicked your coverage, and you know it. Make this some little smoky wraparound bacon sausages thingamajiggers.
With brown sugar all over them.
And I might have ate over half of them.
Yes, you did. I'm surprised you made it out of this kitchen.
I know, without killing me, you out killing me.
Without me killing you.
Yeah.
Body slamming me to that table. Taking my bacon, so.
He kept growling at me, and I was like, stop, dude. Quit growling. Yeah, I'm the guest. I should be able to eat here.
Not at my house.
Not in my house. Oh, yeah. Can I buy those wrestling figures? When you die, I want your wrestling figures. When you pass away, I will give you a Teresa made little smoky sausage with bacon around it for 15 figures. That's how much it's worth.
Whoa. Dang.
Those are expensive sausages. Those are really good.
And I have almost 3 shelves full of wrestling figures.
If you haven't seen the shelves yet, be jealous because they're amazing.
I will be putting more up on our website. Now you're putting pressure on me. I'll get it done. Amazing. I'll get it soon. So
my gosh. What happened to WWE taking their stuff off of Netflix? Do you know why?
Let me give you two reasons. The WWE Network and Hulu. They moved a lot of their stuff to Hulu now. But the network itself.
I'm ticked.
Yeah.
Juice okay? Did he fall off?
He dropped his phone.
I did.
He was so upset that Netflix didn't have the WWE.
I used to watch that all
Hulu.
They had what they called the best of rivalries. Oh, that was the coolest documentary.
Yeah.
Oh, that was
And you
fun.
Can get that on the WWE Network only for $9.95. But wait, there's more. Sorry.
There's nothing on Netflix anymore.
You're not telling me anything. That's why I don't have Netflix. They took off the Food Channel. I love the Food Channel. I mean, it's food. Right?
Do you eat your TV? Do you, like, lick the TV screen?
Late at night, I really do.
Recipe for ribs.
Yeah, that's where we got our recipe for ribs.
It only turns out good because she made them.
Yeah, but we actually were watching. You've had the ribs my wife makes, the smoked ribs. They are the best in the world.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I'll give you two ribs and a little smoky sausage for all three yourselves of figures. I think that's a pretty worthwhile purchase.
You think Teresa would have to cook it then, right? So she'd have to cook it, and then I'd be giving up my figures for all this?
But you get a little smoky sausage and two ribs from me for that. That's a lot, dude. Especially when it's coming from Teresa making it. That's a valuable, valuable, valuable piece of food.
I want bacon.
You're welcome.
I want more bacon.
Don't lick your lips and say that. Why are you looking at me and licking your lips? Stop that. Dave, quit it.
We're kind of brown, like, you know.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Bacon. Teresa, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and save us and save myself.
You better be saving yourself.
Oh, my gosh. Speaking of Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame.
How excited are you about this class?
I am stoked. Kurt Angle.
Rock and Roll Express.
Ricky and Robert.
In.
Yeah.
Are you surprised about Kurt Angle getting in this soon? Is that too soon?
With what he did in the ring, from amateur to WWE to his days in TNA, he well deserves it.
Remember, folks, this isn't like the NBA or NFL Pro Football Hall of Fame, where if you have to be retired for at least 5 years to be elected into the first ballot Hall of Fame. For the wrestlers, there is no time. There is no time, I guess, separation, if you will, in regards to them being separated from WWE.
Didn't Edge get in the year after he was forced to retire because of injuries?
Oh, so. And he was, and it was for sure. There was no even question. Everybody knew the day he retired that he was getting the Hall of Fame next WrestleMania. Yeah.
Now, Kurt Angle, going back to him, I remember when he came in to the WWE, He was the Olympic hero. Remember, he wrestled in the Atlanta Olympics with a broken freaking neck.
Yeah.
And then they did some comedy work with him, of course, with Steve Austin. That was just
incredible.
Hilarious.
Incredible.
I remember Steve putting that little cowboy hat on Kurt Angle. Oh, man, that was hilarious.
Well, I remember his match with Shane McMahon. No holds bar, anything. It was a street fight. And he went to Chuck Shane through this plastic, I don't know, Maj, if you will. And Shane doesn't go through, and he lands straight on top of his head, and you hear it.
Yeah.
So you can hear Shane say, "Throw me again." And so Kurt doesn't hesitate, picks him up, chucks him again, and this time he makes it through.
Yeah.
Kurt was willing to do whatever he was asked to do. And now you talk about him being face. When they threw him to be heel, Kurt ate it up.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole, his theme song, his walk-in song, and the crowd would chant, you know, "You suck," or whatever, yeah. At the beats. And Kurt ate it up. Kurt was so professional about it, to be quite honest with you.
You know, he wasn't a professional wrestling fan.
No.
He wasn't a fan, but you know, once you've done the Olympics, what are you going to do to make a living, right?
Yeah.
And I think it was ECW that first approached him about it, and he went to a match and didn't really like what he was seeing. And then, you know, some other things happened. He eventually just becomes a huge superstar in the industry. And that, I think what you said about him, he was willing to do whatever. Who would have thought this guy who was so intense in his training? I mean, did he have any body fat on him at all?
I doubt it if he did. Never mind.
If you read his autobiography, you talk about his training schedule. It was like before the Olympics, he worked out constantly.
All the time.
And, you know.
But as Olympians, they do that.
Yeah.
I mean, Michael Phelps is obsessed with working out.
Yeah. He trained constantly. But who would have thought this guy, who was so intense in the amateur wrestling world and so good, could come into the, quote, sports entertainment and be able to play the heel so well that when they made him a babyface, the crowd still ate it up? He is a unique talent. He's had some difficulties over the years with his injuries and drug abuse, and but
Kurt Angle's in the Hall of Fame. Oh, it is true.
It's true. It's true.
Teddy Long is also, as of this recording, Teddy Long is also in the Hall of Fame.
Deserves it.
Absolutely.
You talk about, but Teddy Long started as a wrestling official. He was in the ring as a referee.
Oh.
Then he became a manager, and then he became the general manager of SmackDown. His little swagger when he'd walk out as the general manager and having those great-looking suits he wore, and his mic skills, wow. Just
incredible.
Just holla if you hear me. You know, playa, you know, he's talking to playa and stuff. He played that part. But he looks so much like Gary Coleman, the actor.
Don't
you know,
do that.
He looks so much.
Why do you do that? You have to be that guy, don't you, Dave?
I am that guy.
You know, Teddy Long, if you're listening to this, I just want to apologize on behalf of my partner here, Dave Denton, for calling you, or at least liking you to Gary
Coleman.
What you talking about, Willis? Coleman.
No, I love Gary Coleman.
Don't. No, you don't.
I do.
No, so. That's because you think I'm Gary Coleman. That's why you say that. So don't even.
Hi, Gar.
No.
Did you know Gary Coleman showed up at our radio station one day?
What?
In Logan, Utah.
Promoting himself to be the governor of California?
No. You know, he lived in Utah the last few years of his life.
Oh, I did hear that. Yeah.
Yeah,
in
Santaquin, Utah. And he was in a independent film called Church Ball.
Yep.
And
love that movie.
He was promoting that, and he came in.
I love that movie.
And he didn't do the interview on my radio station, but the radio station right next door to me, VFX, he was doing an interview on that. So I didn't get to meet him, but I did to see him. So, but anyway, Teddy Long, let's talk, get back to Teddy. He brought a swagger to SmackDown when they just desperately needed it.
the wonderful Teresa.
You're going to volunteer her cooking skills again?
Are you kidding me? Wouldn't you? You I always laugh, do. But I'm serious.
I'm not going to volunteer her. She's over
I
there. She can beat me up.
I don't even volunteer my own wife to cook for me. I'll take Teresa over that.
She's laughing.
Okay, so we came over, like maybe 4 years. I can't wait, it's been almost 4 years. Yeah. But Teresa Denton, incredible, incredible woman. You outkicked your coverage and you know it. Make this some little smoky wraparound bacon sausages, thingamajiggers.
With brown sugar all over them.
And I might have ate over half of them.
Yes, you did. I'm surprised you made it out of this kitchen.
I know, without killing me, you out killing me.
Without me killing you.
Yeah.
Body slamming me to that table. Taking my bacon, so.
He kept growling at me, and I was like, stop, dude. Quit growling. Yeah, I'm the guest. I should be able to eat here.
Not at my house.
Not in my house. Oh, yeah. Can I buy those wrestling figures? When you die, I want your wrestling figures. When you pass away, I will give you a Teresa made little smoky sausage with bacon around it for 15 figures. That's how much it's worth.
Whoa. Dang.
Those are expensive sausages. Those are really good.
And I have almost 3 shelves full of wrestling figures.
If you haven't seen the shelves yet, be jealous because they're amazing.
I will be putting more up on our website. Now you're putting pressure on me. I'll get it done. Amazing. I'll get it soon. So
My gosh. What happened to WWE taking their stuff off of Netflix? Do you know why?
Let me give you two reasons. The WWE Network and Hulu. They moved a lot of their stuff to Hulu now. But the network itself.
I'm ticked.
Yeah.
Juice okay? Did he fall off?
He dropped his phone.
I didn't I did.
He was so upset that Netflix didn't have the WWE.
I used to watch that all
Hulu.
They had what they called the best of rivalries. Oh, that was the coolest documentary.
Yeah.
Oh, that was
And you
fun.
Can get that on the WWE Network only for $9.95. But wait, there's more. Sorry.
There's nothing on Netflix anymore.
You're not telling me anything. That's why I don't have Netflix. They took off the Food Channel. I love the Food Channel. I mean, it's food. Right?
Do you eat your TV? You like lick the TV screen?
Late at night, I really do.
Recipe for ribs.
Yeah, that's where we got our recipe for ribs.
It only turns out good because she made them.
Yeah, but you know, we actually were watching. You've had the ribs my wife makes, the smoked ribs. They are the best in the world.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I'll give you two ribs and a little smoky sausage for all three yourselves of figures. I think worthwhile purchase.
You think Teresa would have to cook it then, right? So she'd have to cook it, and then I'd be giving up my figures for all this?
But you get a little smoky sausage and two ribs from me for that. That's a lot, dude. Especially when it's coming from Teresa making it. That's a valuable, valuable, valuable piece of food.
I want bacon.
You're welcome.
I want more bacon.
Don't lick your lips and say that. Why are you looking at me and licking your lips? Stop that. Dave, quit it.
We're kind of brown like, you know,
oh my gosh. Okay,
bacon.
Teresa, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and save us and save myself.
You better be saving yourself.
Oh my gosh. NFL has never seen a 52-year-old man compete at the highest level, but the NFL doesn't have an Undertaker. The NBA has never had a guy take off 13 years, maybe a guy who took off a year, Michael Jordan. But never 13 years and come back and still be at the top of his game. But they don't have a Goldberg. Baseball has never seen a villain that can go to any town and be hated so badly. Not Ryan Braun, not Barry Bonds, not Mark McGwire, but the MLB doesn't have a Roman Reigns. WrestleMania 33, Citrus Bowl in Orlando, Florida was the site. 13 matches, 5 title changes, and a very epic 5-minute violent brawl between Lesnar and Goldberg.
It had its highs and lows, but more highs than lows.
This is what it's about. The culmination, the Super Bowl, the NBA Finals, the World Series, the Daytona 500. This is what WrestleMania is for the wrestling sport. By the way, this event was 7 hours long. There was 2 25-minute matches.
Yeah.
This was a long... I mean, we outdid ourselves here. The appetizer for WrestleMania 33 was...
Neville.
And Austin. Well, how do you say his last name?
Austin Aries.
I keep calling him Aries, and I keep getting in trouble by everybody.
Austin Aries, the world's greatest man. But that was a killer opener.
What an appetizer. That had everything in it.
Holy moly.
And by the way, this was for the Cruiserweight Championship.
That missile drop kick he did off the top rope, Austin Aries did, was incredible.
Neville ended up winning, taking the Cruiserweight title. That was the first of five WWE Championship rotations on the belt. Late in the match, Neville was in serious trouble. He had to break a submission. Then he poked Aries in the same eye that he broke his socket. Ow. Mommy, I need help. Call me an ambulance.
Oh, yeah.
Turns around, then lands a very well-done, picture-perfect, on-the-button red arrow from the top of the rope, go figure, to get the win.
Well, that's something that Neville hasn't been doing a lot since he turned heel.
Well, I didn't watch much of the pre-show. I'm not a big pre-show guy, because why don't they just call it All WrestleMania and just make it 5 hours long? I mean, overall, I mean, dude, it's WrestleMania. Can you honestly complain about WrestleMania? Dude, everybody like, oh, the Super Bowl, oh, the World Series. For me, it's WrestleMania, dude. I mean, that is my, it's like I told my wife, bless my family's heart. But I said, you guys, this is the one time a year that dad gets to watch wrestling all the way through and not get interrupted.
So then we move on to one of my favorites, and I love the name of the title of this match, but the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Yeah.
Your winner, Mojo Rawley.
Mojo.
And if you're a New England Patriots fan, you're probably like me. You're probably cringing at the sight of seeing Rob Gronkowski inside the ring.
But did Gronk just come out of the crowd?
Yeah, he hopped over the barricade and hopped in and decided to jump in and do some wrestling. And whether he had Bill Belichick's permission or not, I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
He's coming off back surgery, but then jumps in a wrestling ring, and I know we call it, oh, it's fake. No, I don't care.
No.
He shouldn't be in there in the first place.
Yeah.
Was not thrilled about it, but nonetheless, he helps Mojo Rawley get the biggest win of Rawley's young WWE career.
Yeah, and you got Gronk is going to be Gronk. Nobody's going to be telling Gronk what to do. But since Mojo is, you know, starting to really get some push after, after this, he'll get some more push. Does that mean that Gronk might be doing some stuff when he retires?
When we get there, we'll talk about it. Okay. But let's not talk about Gronk retiring yet.
Okay.
As Patriot fans, we just cannot be talking about Gronk leaving.
Yes, we need him.
We deflate
everything.
By the way, so there's at the start.
I was only serious.
Intercontinental Championship. This was the Dean Ambrose, Baron Corbin. Did you watch it?
Zane and I disagree. I like Baron Corbin. I like the character he's playing, but I'm kind of glad that Dean won.
You know, and it was interesting because for the most part, Corbin dominated that match strategically and physically. Ambrose kept coming back and coming back and coming back, and that's one thing we love about Dean is that he's never out of a match. It doesn't matter who it's against. Big win for Dean getting that IC title. And I think for the WWE, they're trying to bring back the importance of the Intercontinental Championship.
I think all the work that The Miz did when he was having his feud with Dolph Ziggler.
Yes.
That...
Wrestling?
Yeah.
It's sort of like wrestling, except they ain't mad.
It's called suspension of disbelief.
It's like wrestling for fun.
Like wrestling.
Nothing like that.
This is unbelievable.
And then we get on to the main main dish, I should say. One of the matches that stood out was the first match after the kickoff show. AJ Styles, Shane McMahon. Now, Styles' comeback is not alone to be just shadowed over by Shane McMahon being at the age of 47. Tom Brady wants to play six more years of football. Try being age 47 and taking these kind of bumps as Shane McMahon, who, by the way, has no fear when it comes to putting on a good show.
Right.
This match, right now, in my mind, is the leading candidate for match of the year.
Wow, you liked it that much, huh?
I loved it.
Oh, cool.
And And it's not just because usually it's Shane that takes over a great match and puts it on himself. I thought AJ Styles was step for step with him in regards of putting on this good match. Couple of big spots that I felt like maybe stood out to me.
The leap off into the announcer's table was awesome. Uh-huh. He got air.
Yeah, he does. He
got
gets air.
With that elbow, he got air. And uh-huh. He sometimes, I don't know if he lands it correctly. You know, you ever seen someone like leap into a pole and like face belly flop it?
Uh-huh.
I feel like sometimes that's what Shane McMahon's elbow is capable of doing.
He's not in there all the time, so you know, that's probably.
His elbows look so awkward.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like he's jumping in with his back instead of his elbow. I mean,
Shane is, he's kind of like Mick Foley. He'll do anything. I mean, he will do anything for the match. And let me just say this about the phenomenal one, AJ Styles. When you have a great match like this happen, it takes two performers playing off each other. AJ can wrestle, he can fight, he can do aerials, and he does what is needed to be done. And I think he can elevate a non-performer all the time like Shane, and let Shane have his highlights and still make that match look really, really good because of the talent of an AJ Styles.
McMahon misses the moonsault, and of course Styles lands his forearm to finish it for the win. Great match.
I thought that was the most entertaining match that it was. It was for being a quick draw match right at the last minute that had a good lead up to it, and I thought it was extremely, extremely entertaining. Dude, Shane O'Mac's got some moves. Did you see him? So he was working the mat. I mean, he was pulling out some jujitsu and some pretty good stuff.
At WrestleMania, always has that one match where everyone's like, "Oh my gosh!" And then they see the second match and they're like, "Hey, you want to get some nachos? Yeah, let's go get some nachos right now. Let's go. Yeah, sure. You know." And they're still talking about the previous match. Such as the case was for Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho, from friends to frenemies.
You didn't like the match?
That crowd was recovering from that match, and needless to say, so was I. The match, it did have its worthy moments. It was physical, very physical. I felt like there were some creative counter moves as well, and not only just from Jericho, but surprisingly from Kevin Owens, who's not, I would say, that very agile of a guy at times. But the power bomb to finish off Jericho was killer. I mean, he put him on the ground or on the mat, I should say, really well. It was good, a nice bump taken by Jericho, but it looked like it hurt.
Oh, yeah. I can go back. I can go back to Marty the Moth at Comic-Con when we were talking to him in Salt Lake City. He's from Lucha Underground, and he was talking about some of the moves, and he talked about Rey Mysterio 619, and he got to the microphone and said, "The 619 hurts." These moves these guys do, they can get very stiff and they can hurt. I mean, they find ways not to really hurt each other, but we're not talking that it's just a little slap. You know, it's a bang. You know, they get very, very physical in the matches. That's one of the things I like about
Owens had his index finger on the rope, which the ref caught. Yeah. Good eyes by the ref. And broke out of it. And then, as I said, Owens finishes with a power bomb, a massive one, puts him down for the 1-2-3, wins. And United States champion is Kevin Owens.
Yeah, KO and Chris Jericho, great setup. The
build-up was awesome. Oh, the build-up was probably one of the best I've seen in any of those WrestleMania matches.
Oh, the Monday Night Raw, the friendship thing in Las Vegas. I laughed until tears were coming down my eyes. And then, it was just hilarious. So that's a great one for them. I'm going to give that one an A.
I actually will too.
Yeah,
I'll give it an A.
The hype they put on the women's matches, and then for this year to not put any emphasis on them at all, I was a little bit taken back by that as well. They shoved all of the women on both rosters into great big matches. That's what they did. That was the big gripe before last year. Was
the first Divas group match came from Raw.
Yeah.
You had the Raw's Women's Championship. It's a fatal four women elimination match. Bayley, Sasha Banks, Charlotte Flair, and Nia Jax all in this match. And to be honest, Jax didn't win, but she stole the show. She hung on with three other women who were very capable of stealing a match on their own. In the end, though, Bayley wins the Raw's Women Championship.
Yep. She retained it because the three of them, they
all stacked upon each other.
Yeah, they ganged up on Nia Jax, and I thought that was pretty good. The rest of the match.
By the way, that that
I don't know. I couldn't get into that.
There's always one surprise appearance that you get during WrestleMania. There's always that one match that you see. Oh my gosh, they're here. Such is the case with Sheamus and Cesaro and
Luke Gallows, Carl Anderson, Enzo Amore, Big Cass, and they were going to do a triple, right?
Yeah.
And then the New Day comes out.
And they have one little announcement. One just tiny surprise. 12th ladder match in WrestleMania history brought this surprise. Dave, give it to me.
The Hardy Boys.
Stop that with that tone of voice.
The Hardy Boys.
You are an ungrateful human
being. Team Extreme. I'm not a fan.
Well, the crowd was.
Oh,
that was the loudest pop I had heard all night.
And the match of the night for me. I thought the match was incredible. But I'm just not a big fan. It goes back to what was going on when Matt, the broken Matt. You even heard Michael Cole said, "Oh no, it's broken Matt." And then that was about the end of any kind of reference to what happened at Impact and also ROH, which the Hardys had the ROH tag title, but they sure dropped it earlier this week to the Young Bucks and actually in the ring bowed down to them at ROH. But the match itself, when you talk about four great tag teams, holy cannolis, put in all kinds of sound effects to stop the
serious
cussing. Holy
cojones.
Crap, that was good.
Matt and Jeff Hardy showed no rust on their first WWE match since 2009.
Yeah.
That's 8 years of not performing in front of a crowd like this, and they step on the biggest stage of them all and let a rip. The finish was spectacular. You had Matt Hardy with a twist of fate. You had Jeff Hardy on a swanton bomb on the tallest ladder, landing on top of Sheamus, who was prone on a second ladder.
I'll just say this.
Okay.
Honestly, the match of the night, loved it. Loved the entire match. I am going to be so interested in seeing what the WWE does now with the Hardys. I did notice that the crowd was doing the delete, and every once in a while you hear, and you're not going to stop the crowd from doing that. But I liked the character of the broken Matt Hardy when they were doing that, and he still got that skunk hairstyle.
Oh, yeah.
Jeff
Hardy lands the Swanton Bomb, which leads to Matt Hardy climbing up the top of the ladder to grab the titles to the crowd's delight. Ladies and gentlemen, your tag team champions are the Hardy Boys. Are you kidding me?
I have been very critical of the broken Matt Hardy, not because of what?
41 years old and jumping off ladders. And, I mean, Jeff on the top of that ladder.
It was awesome.
It was pretty cool.
It was great.
You think Matt will have to get in a little better shape to be in the WWE, or you think they'll be on a part-time schedule?
You know, I think he'll do fine. He looks a little stiff. I don't know if he's had leg injuries or what, but he looks a little stiff when he's walking to the ring, like mm-hmm. he doesn't want to bend his legs, you know. But mm-hmm. once he's in the ring, I think he's fine. And he is a storyteller, just like
yeah. Three matches were non-title related. This one was a tag team between real-life couples. Dave's rolling his eyes, and you know what? Actually, so am I. This match...
boring.
Yeah, this match, I felt the build-up was not great. I didn't think the match was that stellar, especially since Maryse, who had not seen the ring since 2011, jumped in, and really, she slapped Cena and then took a flurry of just punches from Nikki Bella.
Now, the build-up, though, you didn't like the build-up.
I didn't think it was great.
The build-up... from the time when they first started doing this, between The Miz and Cena, I thought was some of the best work the Miz has ever done with the mic on SmackDown.
And he's always been a great work on the mic, too.
This was really, really good. The match itself, disappointing.
Wow. I mean, it was a casual ending, really, to be honest with you. Five-knuckle shuffle, the double and sealed it, dealed it, and win it. Yeah. Speaking of sealing, how about we put a ring on the finger? John Cena, after the match, oh, don't roll your eyes. You thought it was cute. John Cena proposes to Nikki Bella, who said no. Okay, just kidding. She said yes. Relax. Jeez.
Let me tell you what I did. I was taking notes last night. As soon as the match began, I wrote on my notepad, Cena will propose to Nikki Bella at the end of the match.
Well, I guess John Cena, and I guess Mr. and Mrs. Cena, soon to be, are now 1-0 in pay-per-view matches together. 1-0, batting 1,000. Cool. Oh, you proposed. All right. Yeah. I mean, that was the biggest reaction, is that the proposal. That was it.
I'm going to change it to a D.
Oh, wow. Now that's harsh.
With Nikki Bella, maybe double Ds. No, I mean,
all that storytelling and all those great promos and all that stuff for that.
Yeah,
that was
Cena and Miz.
That was stupid.
Moving on to the next match. Again, this was another non-title related match, but there was a lot on the line in regards of egos. Seth Rollins, Triple H. It was a 25-minute match, and Seth Rollins not only had to fend off that beautiful witch, Stephanie McMahon, but he also
looked so good last night. And Seth Rollins' ring gear looked like he had fish scales on the side.
Dude, I don't get it. What is he, the Little Mermaid?
He was trying to go. No, he was trying to go for the Aquaman look. I think.
I didn't like. He looks like the freaking Little Mermaid to me. Aqua, no. I mean, I thought he was gonna sing like Under the Sea, or I'm surprised his song wasn't Under the Sea.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that made me laugh, Juice. But the match itself, I got to tell you, it was a long match. I got so tired of hearing Michael Cole. He went to the bad knee. That's his bad knee. It was his bad knee. Oh, Triple H went right for that bad knee. Triple H, it was his bad. I was saying, okay.
We get it.
He's got a bad knee. I know that's what you're supposed to be selling, but it was so... You know, except for Michael Cole. It went to his bad knee.
You give the announcers an F, the match itself a B. Based on the WWE Championship, it was the lowest rated match of the night, according to four other sites.
What?
This was...
Idiots. They're stupid idiots.
It was a seventh-month buildup to Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton for the WWE title. It was the lowest graded match of the night, the WWE Championship, Dave.
First off, when Bray comes out and the Fireflies come out throughout the crowd, and they have that ramp and they have the little Firefly lights as he's coming up the ramp. And then when Randy comes out and that snake is on the ramp, just walking with him, just going back and forth. Perfect. 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 The match itself, when Bray Wyatt supposedly, you know, He does something and it puts on the ring itself. You see pictures of the maggots or the roaches. I imagine some of the people didn't like that.
You have to, though. You have to understand Bray Wyatt.
I loved it. I thought that was the highlight of that match and Randy's reaction to that.
Leads me to this question. It was a clean win for Randy Orton. Are you surprised?
Well, I kind of am, because Bray Wyatt sells lots of merchandise and so does Randy. But I just think they could have, and Bray, I still think that Bray gets the short end of the stick sometimes. I like the match. I really did. Those four others that didn't like the match? Stupid idiot. You just made Dave's list.
In the end, Randy Orton wins, and he becomes a 13-time WWE Championship. And for Bray Wyatt, he is now what the Super Bowl is to the Buffalo Bills. Major pay-per-view match for Bray Wyatt ends up in another loss.
And that happens all the time to Bray for some reason. So the crowd, you know, ooh, you could hear the crowd, ooh, especially when they're showing the maggots and the worms.
Yes.
Ooh, you can see the girls going, oh, I'm going to toss my cookies.
The Universal Championship featured two wrestlers who have had their own respective streaks in their own respective divisions. Goldberg had a 158 win streak in the WCW. Brock Lesnar had a 50-plus match winning streak at one point before he was defeated. Both wrestlers got themselves in the ring for the Universal title, a match that lasted a whopping 4 minutes and 47 seconds, but was a sexy, incredibly awesome, delicious car wreck. And you were rolling your eyes.
Say what?
And when I say a car wreck, I mean it was brutal. This was a physical, violent match. Yeah. Lesnar survived two spears and a jackhammer. Oh, yeah.
You sexy?
Okay, just because you don't understand that word doesn't mean you have to criticize me for using it.
Well, thinking about that match only just makes me want to go to Jimmy John's. I
loved it.
I thought it was going to be more of a squash match.
Again?
Yeah, I thought it was going to be Brock with the squash. At least they let Bill have highlights and Brock highlights, even though it was relatively short, fun match because it was so physical. 10 German suplexes. Suplex City.
7 in a row.
Yeah.
7.
Three right at the beginning, 7 in a row. And then they got Suplex City. And they all had Jimmy John's afterward.
How about where Brock Lesnar leaped over a spear from Goldberg?
That was awesome.
Get up more. Which resulted in Lesnar delivering an F5, getting the win, and the Universal title to the light of the crowd. Another title change.
I'd like a number 14 with extra peppers or maybe tuna fish because it has the sprouts.
Okay. Okay.
But a better match than I thought it was going to be.
You graded as what?
I'll tell you, too, that I think the stupidest match of the night, number one, goes to John Cena and that tag team debacle, and number two, Goldberg and Brock Lesnar.
It was better than I was expecting, but I was not expecting very much out of that match.
It was a glorified squash match.
Yeah.
I mean, that was stupid. But did you hear, though, that Goldberg is glad to be done? He said he didn't have a very good time this last time going around. He was on a podcast a couple weeks ago, and he said that he didn't like his return to the WWE, didn't have fun. He talked on there about how he wore his coat the first few weeks back at Raw? He wore his coat because he says, I don't lift weights anymore. He says, I do cardio. I want to keep, my heart healthy. And, he says, I just do a lot of cardio and I stay in shape and cardio and aerobics and things like that. And he said, I was kind of embarrassed because he says, I lost my physique. And he said, so I had to get back into, he says, eating nothing but protein and packing on the protein and hitting the gym and lifting the weights and bulking up so that I could be ready for my match and look like the Goldberg of old. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was interesting because sometimes we forget about what kind of workout regimes and the what we as fans expect, because he probably could have come out and still had a pretty...
In the WWE Championship, it was the lowest rated match of the night, according to four other sites.
What?
Idiots.
They're stupid idiots.
It was a 7th month buildup to Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton for the WWE title. It was the lowest graded match of the night, the WWE Championship, Dave.
First off, when Bray comes out and the fireflies come out throughout the crowd, and they have that ramp and they have the little firefly lights as he's coming up the ramp, and then when Randy comes out and that snake is on the ramp just walking with him, just going back and forth, perfect, perfect, perfect. The match itself, when Bray Wyatt supposedly, he does something and it puts on the ring itself, you see pictures of the maggots or the roaches.
Ah, yeah.
I imagine some of the people didn't like that.
You have to, though. You have to understand Bray Wyatt.
I loved it. I thought that was the highlight of that match and Randy's reaction to that.
Leads me to this question. It was a clean win for Randy Orton. Are you surprised?
Well, yeah, I kind of am, because Bray Wyatt sells lots of merchandise and so does Randy. But I just think they could have, and Bray, I still think that Bray gets the short end of the stick sometimes. I like the match. I really did. Those four others that didn't like the match, stupid idiot. You just made Dave's list.
In the end, Randy Orton wins, and he becomes a 13-time WWE championship. And for Bray Wyatt, he is now what the Super Bowl is to the Buffalo Bills. Major pay-per-view match for Bray Wyatt ends up in another loss.
And that happens all the time to Bray for some reason. So the crowd, you know, you can hear the crowd, especially when they're showing the maggots and the worms.
Yes.
You can see the girls going, oh, I'm going to toss my cookies.
The Universal Championship featured two wrestlers who have had their own respective streaks in their own respective divisions. Goldberg had a 158 win streak in the WCW. Brock Lesnar had a 50-plus match winning streak at one point before he was defeated. Both wrestlers got themselves in the ring for the Universal title, a match that lasted a whopping 4 minutes and 47 seconds, but was a sexy, incredibly awesome, delicious car wreck. And you were rolling your eyes.
Say what?
And when I say a car wreck, I mean, it was brutal. This was a physical, violent match. Lesnar survived two spears and a jackhammer. Oh, yeah.
You sexy?
Okay. Just because you don't understand that word doesn't mean you have to criticize me for using it.
Well, thinking about that match, all it just makes me want to go to Jimmy John's. I
loved it.
I thought it was going to be more of a squash match.
Again?
Yeah, I thought it was going to be Brock with the squash. At least they let Bill have highlights and Brock highlights. Even though it was relatively short, fun match because it was so physical. 10 German suplexes. Suplex City.
7 in a row.
Yeah.
7.
Three right at the beginning, 7 in a row. And then they got Suplex City. And they all had Jimmy John's afterward.
How about where Brock Lesnar leaped over a spear from Goldberg?
That was awesome.
Get up more. Yeah. Which resulted in Lesnar delivering an F5, getting the win in the Universal title to the delight of the crowd. Another title change.
I'd like a number 14 with extra peppers or maybe tuna fish because it has the sprouts.
Okay. Okay.
But a better match than I thought it was going to be.
You grade it as what?
I'll tell you, too, that I think the stupidest match of the night, number one, goes to John Cena and that tag team debacle, and number two, Goldberg and Brock Lesnar.
It was better than I was expecting, but I was not expecting very much out of that match.
It was a glorified squash match.
Yeah.
I mean, that was stupid. But did you hear, though, that Goldberg is glad to be done? He said he didn't have a very good time this last time going around. He was on a podcast a couple weeks ago, and he said that he didn't like his return to the WWE, didn't have fun. He talked on there about how he wore his coat the first few weeks back at Raw? He wore his coat because he says, I don't lift weights anymore. He says, I do cardio. I want to keep, my heart healthy. And, he says, I just do a lot of cardio and I stay in shape and I cardio and aerobics and things like that. And he said, well, he says, I was kind of embarrassed because he says, I lost my physique. And he said, so I had to get back into, he says, eating nothing but protein and packing on the protein and hitting the gym and lifting the weights and bulking up so that I could be ready for my match and look like the Goldberg of old. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was interesting, because sometimes we forget about what kind of workout regimes and the you know, what we as fans expect. Because he probably could have come out and still had a pretty...
That double sharpshooter was sweet.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how they were able to lock that up. I don't know what it took to practice it, but that was really awesome.
Yeah, I love Natty. So congratulations.
To Naomi.
To Naomi. She was feel the glow, baby. That dance when she's coming out, when she's coming that entrance, boom! I mean, I am an old man. I mean, I'm almost 60 years old, and she's dancing to...
Okay,
know,
calm down.
No, I'm not talking sexy or anything.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about how much I enjoyed it.
Okay.
The performance itself was so much better than those dancers they had with Pitbull and Flo Rida and
mm-hmm.
what was Lunch Meat, whatever his name was.
The final match of the night might have also released a sign to the final match for a legendary career. The Undertaker versus Roman Reigns in a no-holds-bar match. At 52 years old, Undertaker still doing it. And had an incredible streak where he started off at 21-0. He now ends his WrestleMania streak, or at least his record, at 23-2. A loss to Roman Reigns, which the crowd was not at all happy about, of course. They were very upset into the match. By the way, Jim Ross did call this match, which I thought was very epic and very neat. For Jim Ross, he said on Twitter that that was one of his greatest honors of his wrestling career, or at least his announcing career. He said on Twitter that it was an honor to call The Undertaker's final match. Undertaker made it official earlier this morning on Twitter when he tweeted out his retirement, saying that he has made a legacy out of his career, that he hopes to leave as a legend, and he said, rest in peace. That was it. So he's officially awesome. Retiring as a wrestler. What an incredible... Let's talk about The Undertaker. Forget the match. I don't even want to talk about the match because there's really nothing to say there.
Undertaker, I'm old school now, okay? And you know I'm old school. I remember watching Mean Mark Callis when he came into the Memphis wrestling scene. And he was the master of pain, and he went on to several different names and gimmicks throughout the years. And then when he was called into the WWE and they came up with a character, and I believe it was Vince that had the character of The Undertaker, he went with it. He changed that character quite a bit during the years. You know, the American Badass when he was on the motorcycle, loved it. The Dead Man stuff, the feud with Kane. If you wanted to put people on the mountaintop, you know, the Mount Rushmore
wrestling,
anybody that wanted to put The Undertaker there, I wouldn't argue with them.
You can't.
I mean, we did that ourselves just a couple of weeks ago, but from everything he has done inside the ring to what he has done behind the scenes, because if you read up on wrestling, you read the dirt sheets, or if you watch interviews like on the WWE Network, everybody speaks so highly of Mark Callis.
Oh, absolutely.
So sad to see him go. Wish he'd have won to let him to win but I understand why. Yeah. Roman Reigns won.
If you're a smart wrestling storyline kind of person, you understand why Roman Reigns needed to win that match.
Right.
Because winning for Undertaker would do absolutely nothing. He wins and walks out and it's over. Losing to Roman Reigns extends Roman Reigns' storyline and his career in a certain way. And whether fans liked it or not, it's not up for debate. It just had to be how it was. The laydown of the coat and the hat and the center of the ring... It was chilling.
It'll bring a tear to your eye.
It did, and I'm not an emotional guy. I don't get emotional.
I do.
I know. I know. Okay.
I cry.
Okay, turn off the mic there.
Okay.
So, I watched his first match, The Undertaker, WrestleMania, when he's against Jake the Snake. My dad, I guess there was a family party going on. My dad was switching through channels, and he got to wrestling, and he switched it because he hates wrestling. So I stayed downstairs, and I switched the channel back to wrestling. I watched a WrestleMania match. And I fell in love with The Undertaker as soon as that. The dark entrance, the dark persona of it all was just amazingly well done by Mark.
But still, when you look at the career, and then you add the sadness of Jim Ross, just losing his wife last week in an auto accident.
Oh,
you know, we talk about how much we enjoy professional wrestling, and as we do this, we got to remember these guys, they have lives, they have families, and to lose your wife in an auto accident in less than a week, the industry, and I'm sure it was Vince that reached out to Jim, and they haven't had the best relationship over the years, but he reached out to Jim Ross. Somebody did in that company, and I believe it was Vince.
But you know, it had to come from Vince one way or another.
As an honor to not only Jim, but also his wife. Awesome stuff. Loved it.
Jim did an incredible job calling the match.
As always.
He didn't overdo it. He didn't get too dramatic. He let the scene, the story, and the retirement, or at least the showing of retirement by The Undertaker, tell the story itself. That's what Jim's so great at.
Right.
Is he lets the pictures and the scenes develop to let that tell the story. He doesn't need to say words. Yeah, Jim Ross calling that match was amazing.
You know, and for sake of, you know, being open, this is actually my nephew, Kelly Denton. How you doing, Kelly?
How you doing, Uncle David? What's up with you? Hey, well, let's start off and give credit where it's due. The match itself was really good. I mean, given, you know, Reigns' abilities, it was really good. Taker didn't go out like he went out with, it took a lot more than Brock Lesnar's, you know, F5s to take him out this go around. He took so many Superman punches after Superman punch after Superman punch. I give credit where it's due. The match was exciting. It was actually pretty good, except for the few botches that I, as far as I was concerned, were all Reigns. You know, I'm a huge Mark Calloway fan, always have since before he was The Undertaker. He showed up with Ted DiBiase in WWE as The Undertaker. And I was like, well, I don't really care for the moniker. The gimmick doesn't really seem real, but it really worked for him, and I remained a fan the whole 25 years he was with WWF. And to see him go out the way he did with Roman Reigns, I just Reigns did not have that kind of clout. To me, did not have that kind of clout to be able to not just take out Undertaker at WrestleMania, but that's what actually retired him. And to quote Bray Wyatt, who I really thought got shafted at WrestleMania, anyone but you, Roman, anyone but you.